Week 4, Day 4, Chapter 5. Esther prepares a banquet. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, in front of the king's quarters. While the king was sitting on the royal throne inside the room, opposite the entrance to the palace. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight, and he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request?" "It shall be given you, even to the half of my kingdom." And Esther said, "If it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to a feast that I have prepared for the king." And then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly so that we may go and do as Esther has asked." So the king and Haman came to the feast that Esther had prepared. And as they were drinking wine after the feast, the king said to Esther, "What is your wish? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom, it shall be fulfilled." Then Esther answered, "My wish and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my wish and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come to the feast that I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said." And Haman went out that day joyful and glad of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he had neither rose nor trembled before him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he sent and brought his friends and his wife Zeresh, and Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, all the promotions with which the king had honored him, and how he had advanced above all the officials and the servants of the king. Then Haman said, "Even Queen Esther, let no one but me come with the king to the feast she prepared. And tomorrow also I am invited by her together with the king. Yet all this is worth nothing to me so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Let a gallows 50 cubits high be made, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it. Then go joyfully with the king to the feast." This idea pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. Chapter 6. On that night the king could not sleep, and he gave orders to bring the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written how Mordecai had told about Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the threshold and who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor or distinction has been bestowed on Mordecai for this?" The king's young men who attended him said, "Nothing has been done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now, Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king about having Mordecai hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's young men told him, "Haman is there standing in the court." And the king said, "Oh, let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said to him, "What should be done to the man whom the king delights to honor?" And Haman said to himself, "Whom would the king delight to honor more than me?" And Haman said to the king, "For the man who the king delights to honor, let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse that the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown is set. And let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials. And let them dress the man whom the king delights to honor, and let them lead him on the horse through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, Hurry, take the robes and the horses, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai, the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Leave nothing out that you have mentioned." So Haman took the robes and the horse, and he dressed Mordecai and led him through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." Then Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house mourning and with his head covered. And Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him. Then his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, "If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him." While they were yet talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried to bring Haman to the feast that Esther had prepared. Preparing for Eternity by Britt Quitevis. Students prepare for exams, friends prepare a surprise party, a couple prepares for their wedding, and new parents prepare for the arrival of their baby. Throughout our lives, we make a variety of preparations, often side by side with unexpected events that occur. We are wise to invite God into our times of preparation. He helps us and brings a spiritual awareness that grows our faith and gives Him glory. What a beautiful way for us to abide in Christ and Christ to abide in us. Today we read how Esther intentionally prepares to share her life or death request with King Ahasuerus. She honors him with two elaborately planned dinners, fully preparing him to graciously hear her request. The most important moment that we will ever prepare for is the moment we will meet our Savior face to face. I remember helping my mom prepare for eternity. She was diagnosed with a rare disease that had no cure, and doctors told us she had 4 to 6 months to live. Family and friends took turns sitting with my mom at the end of her life. She peacefully got to the point where all she could say was, "I love you." Then she stopped saying anything at all, stopped squeezing my hand, and stopped opening her eyes. She was still breathing and still with us, so we gathered around her bed to pray over her, sing worship songs, read God's word, tell her how much we loved her, give her kisses, and hold her hand. I felt the presence of God in her room with us. I laid my head next to hers, and I put my arm around her. She was beautiful in suffering, and as much as my heart ached to say goodbye, I wanted her to be free and go be with Jesus. In His perfect time, God welcomed my mom into eternity. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." Revelation 21:1-8 and verses 3 through 4. Prepare for what matters most in this life and the life to come. Joy, peace, and hope will resonate within your soul like never before. When you embrace the coming reality of eternal life in God's kingdom, then your preparation will lead you into great anticipation. Instead of having obscure thoughts of eternity or fearing death, you will begin to experience the glorious life we were meant to live. The best is truly yet to come. Question 1. How has your relationship with God brought meaning and purpose into your life now? And what future hope has it stirred within you? Question 2. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. What are you doing now to prepare for that moment when you meet Jesus face to face? Question 3. Who can you spend time with this week, and what will you prepare to do during your time together? Meaningful time can be as simple as sitting with them, asking questions, listening, and praying. Daily prayer. Heavenly Father, stir our hearts to long for you and set our minds on things above. Come, Lord Jesus.